On this episode of Baseball Barbacast, we're talking beards. The Yankees are letting their players grow them, and we may have a couple jokes. Surprise, surprise. We will go back and forth about the automatic ball strike system that's being used in spring training, why I don't love it, why Jordan is in favor of it, and then we're going to go through literally every team and tell you one funny, notable, interesting thing from their spring training so far. The energy is high. The vibes are good. In this episode of Baseball Barbacast. Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbacast, the only baseball podcast in the world willing to shave their eyebrows for Hal Steinbrenner. I'm Jake Mintz. That's Jordan Schusterman. And it's time to let your beard flag fly.
Speak for yourself. These eyebrows cannot be touched, no matter what the Steinbrenner dynasty tells me, Jake. Yes, after what this was one of the longer gaps between podcasts we could have, because Yankees allowing beards is not only a story that will cross over into the mainstream of sports discourse, it is one that is ripe for Baseball Barbacast as much as anything. In fact, we already kind of talked about this before it happened, as you did Devin Williams shaving for your bad. But Jake, we are going to start today talking about the Yankees allowing well-groomed beards and then also their decision to no longer play New York after losses. Wow, what a decision for the New York Yankees. We're going to talk about the ABS challenge system, which is here, at least for spring. And then spring training has begun. Spring has sprung. We do not particularly love watching spring training games, but they have given us a lot to talk about. And so we're going to fly through 30 spring things, 15 apiece. We've divvied up the 30 major league teams, and we are going to give you one thing from every team that we've seen in spring training so far.
Rockies fans, we're going to talk about you for at least 32 seconds.
But begin. That one might be more than that. But let's begin with the opener. All right, Jake. This one, again, I mean, we posted our podcast last week, and then this happened not long after. It was like, oh my goodness. It really happened. You were still in Florida when this news broke, and it totally changed your day. So why don't we start there with how you found out that the Yankees were allowing beards.
So that morning, I was at Phillies camp for the first time in spring training, you know, just preparing to win another NLDS with my boys. And I'm sitting there watching some pointless spring training drill. And I get a little beep, boop, bop on the old phone machine. Yankees to allow beards statement from owner Hal Steinbrenner. And I mean, you could feel the buzz even 30 minutes away in Clearwater. I mean, it was news. And so I hopped in the Prius. I put it in eco mode, as I do to save gas. And I sped on over to Tampa. You know, this was a drop everything and report. So I showed up, and it was one of the more hilarious, memorable days I have had covering baseball, because it is so irrelevant, this news, but also so enormous. Very few things happen that end 49 years of tradition in our sport. That does not happen often. And even though it will not have a meaningful impact, probably, on the wins and losses of the New York Yankees, it was all the players both laughing that they had to answer these questions while recognizing that, yeah, they had to answer these questions.
So I want to get to what you just said there about how this won't matter for wins and losses in terms of how Hal Steinbrenner talked about this. But I think before we do that, let us read this momentous statement that was released at 9 a.m. on February 21st. This is on the New York Yankees official account. I got this news because I think I was driving somewhere early in Phoenix, and I got the Jeff Passan notification, because we still have Passan notifications on. And Jeff had, I think, like quote tweeted or something, but I just saw the tweet and I was like, oh, did Jeff like get this scoop? And then when I opened it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like an official statement for the Yankees about this. Like that really, really kind of shook me. So here we go. Here's the statement. Statement from Yankees managing general partner, Hal Steinbrenner, on the alteration of Yankees facial hair policy. Jake, would you like to read this? By the way, this has, at the time of recording, this has 26,000 likes. And 12,000 retweets on this godforsaken hell site known as formerly Twitter.
When I will read this as I'm doing it, can you look up how many likes and retweets their announcement that they brought Judge back got? And we can just compare that. I'm curious.
Okay. Oh, I'll try to find that. Sure.
Alteration of Yankees facial hair policy. In recent weeks, I have spoken to a large number of former and current Yankees, spanning several eras, to elicit their perspectives on our long-standing facial hair and grooming policy. And I appreciate their earnest and varied feedback. These most recent conversations are an extension of ongoing internal dialogue that dates back several years. Ultimately, the final decision rests with me. And after great consideration, we will be amending our expectations to allow our players and uniformed personnel to have well-groomed beards moving forward. It is the appropriate time to move beyond the familiar comfort of our former policy.
Jake, I have an answer to your question. On December 20th, 2022, the New York Yankees announced they have re-signed four-time All-Star 2022 American League Most Valuable Player Aaron Judge to a nine-year major league contract extending through the 2031 season. This post has only 19,000 likes and 4,500 reposts, which, by the way, is also when fewer people had abandoned this platform.
Yeah, amazing. This is an incredible amount of engagement. The Yankees should do this every day. Okay, yes. So let's just quickly talk about the wording of the statement, right?
Yes, yes.
So self-important to a hilarious level, right? The idea that the contrived significance of this is amazing. It's so good. It fires me up. The history of the policy. I did a bunch of research on this. So Hal Steinbrenner, his dad, known as George Steinbrenner, George M., thank you. The best totalitarian dictator owner in baseball history. I mean, he was great, right? Absolute monarch. Yeah. Ruled with a stern hand and a golden fist. When he bought the team in 1973, he was looking at his players and he was like, these bums look all scraggly. I don't want them looking like hippies. And so he drew upon his military academy high school experience and said, thou shalt shave. And they did. Now, the Yankees have had this for a long time. It has been challenged a number of different occasions. Don Mattingly grew his hair long to his shoulders because he was pissed the Yankees weren't spending on players. We've seen dudes get pretty close with the scruff from time to time. CC Sabathia did that. Roger Clemens did that. And yet, this is a significant moment of change for this franchise, a recognition that time moves forward and adaptation is necessary because, let me tell you, players do care about this. It is silly and it is stupid, but guess what? So is life. And I actually think that Marcus Stroman made the best argument for the change when he spoke to the media, saying something along the lines of, if you look good and you feel comfortable, you will perform better on the mound, on the field. And I think that is, like, he takes that to an extreme, right? But it's true. It's totally true. And so, on a serious note, good for the Yankees. Good for the Yankees. It's 2025. Good job.
Right. But again, so that is, and I think what Stroman said makes plenty of sense. And we sort of talked about that in relation to Devin Williams, where it's like, if there's anybody the Yankees need to be comfortable and performing at their best this year, it's probably their new closer, who is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. So that's one way to put it. But the other thing that kind of came out of this, and I believe Hal was asked about this, was the notion that players wouldn't want, because in Devin Williams' case, he didn't have a choice, right? They traded for him, and we've seen this time and time again, where they trade for guys that's like, all right, dude, time to shave. But in other cases, they say, oh no, like, is this going to stop us from getting players? Will players not want to come here if they have a choice? And that concept was also talked about. And Hal basically admitted that, like, if there is ever going to be a situation where this is hindering us from getting players, like, that's not a good thing. And yeah, he spun it by saying that, like, oh, they're asking, what would your dad think about this? Oh, my gosh. And he basically was like, the most important thing is winning. And if this was viewed as a thing that would help us win, then I think he would understand. Now, you also had people like Aaron Judge saying things along the lines of, you know, if that was going to stop you from coming here, not sure this is the place for you. I can understand that perspective, too. And I can also understand everyone pointing and laughing at that as well. So I can see that both ways. I think that is what's also so interesting about the response to this, both internally and externally, is acknowledging that, like, OK, good, we're moving forward and we're not being, you know, ultra self-important and different and over the top militaristic. But at the same time, there's also some level of standard and difference that you want to hold being the Yankees. And how the players, as particularly Aaron Judge, are talking about that is also, I think, at least a little bit compelling.
It's funny that they did this coming off a winter where they lost out on Juan Soto, who can't grow facial hair.
He's still 26. May it's coming, all right? Give it some time, man. He's a young guy.
But it's like, if the best player in the world has long hair and a big beard and is a superstar and wants to sign with the Yankees, like, that's a consideration on the scale. It is.
Yeah.
And so removing that barrier for yourself just makes sense. Like, Jordan, best handball player in the world, Mikkel Hansen. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, he looks right like Johnny Damon. He couldn't be a Yankee.
No. And that you'd be missing out. You'd be restricting yourself from the top talent. I don't know if this had anything to do with them not trying to sign Bryce Harper. But if it did, that's unfortunate. I mean, you know, there's a lot of versions of this that are not good. Now, I do think that, like, also, by the way, let's talk about the well-groomed part. Okay.
Yeah, oh, let's get well groomed.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get well groomed.
Jake Mintz, you are clean shaving right now. You are, you know, very, very smooth at the moment, right?
Thank you.
I've got a little bit of scruff.
Yeah.
If you're watching on YouTube, this is not anywhere close to as long as I've had my facial hair, but like, does mine, I don't consider this is just me not shaving, but I also am not like, I don't consider this well groomed. Do you think what I have right now would be considered okay?
Yeah, I do.
I'm not pushing it too far. Okay.
My thought is this. Mm-hmm. Would you wear that? Would you look like that at a wedding?
Mm.
To an important wedding. Let's say your sibling is getting married. That's actually like perfect. Because setting the standard for yourself at your wedding is like a little too high. But like, your sibling is getting married. Would you look like that? Would your beard look like that? The way you have it right now,
the answer is, I would feel comfortable. Yes.
Then I think that is like a good way to think about it. Now, granted, you could be like, oh, well, I would have this enormous ZZ Top beard at my brother's wedding. So, but I think you get my point. It's really simple. Don't look like a schmuck. Like, this was, would you go to court like that? Right. Like, my coach in college had a restriction that was just don't look like an idiot. Right. And when you know it when you see it, right? You know it when you see it. So like Charlie Blackman's beard, Brandon Marsh's beard, those are no's.
Yes.
For the Yankees.
Well,
and
I
don't mind this. I don't mind that aspect of it. Like, if you're the Yankees and you're gonna hold yourself to a higher standard, which is fine, because let's be real, the Yankees, even with the ascension of the Dodgers, the Yankees are a different thing. They are. More people care about them than anybody else, and they have the most rings. They're the baseball team. So if you want to hold yourself to a higher standard and have different rules in place, that's great. I don't mind if it's like, hey, stay presentable. Like, look good, you know?
We have to read this quote from Gerrit Cole. I mean, this is all-time stuff.
I was there for this.
This is so funny.
This is a bad
And year. I think this is also instructive. This is what Garrett Cole said. Quote, the only information we were offered from Cashman, who I guess addressed the team maybe before this came out. The only information we were offered from Cashman is that we're not trying to look like Duck Dynasty. No diss against Duck Dynasty. They're grinding in the woods all the time. You don't really have another option. But that was the only clarification we got.
Shouts out to Duck Dynasty. Like, this is why Garrett Cole is a true Yankee, because he sees this moment in 3D where he's like, I'm not trying to start a beef with Duck Dynasty and the Yankees.
He's like, hey, there are the woods.
They're grinding. Like, yeah. They're grinding.
I don't know enough about Duck Dynasty, but not sure I want to know anymore. I think this is good. This is a good amount of Duck Dynasty for me to know, is Garrett Cole's reference to their beards.
Do you agree with my take about well-groomed?
I think so. I guess my last question about this is, like, will this be a recurring story? Like, will there be people now trying to push the well-groomed boundary? Like, yes. Will we have stories where, yeah. And so that's what I'm curious is, like, who tries to push it beyond that and then still gets reprimanded by this policy? Because that is probably still going to happen to some degree. It might be more.
I think it will. I think it's going to be, like, I think Carlos Rodon is a good bet just because he lets it get pretty scraggly during the winter. Devin Williams, maybe, but, like, his beard is pretty well groomed.
Carlos spends plenty of time in the woods in the offseason. So,
yeah, he's grinding. You
know, he's grinding in the woods.
More of an elk guy, a buck guy. But this change is related to another change the Yankees announced, that they will no longer be playing New York, New York, the Frank Sinatra ditty, after losses. They will only play it after wins. I have been making this argument for a long time. There is nothing funnier to me than the Yankees have, like, bases loaded, one out, down a run in the ninth, ground into a double play, like, tough loss. It's so great. It's so funny when that happens. Good change. This is a good change. But my question about these changes, do they make these changes if they win the World Series? If they beat the Dodgers, let's say game one, Freddie Freeman grounds out, okay? Yanks up 1-0. They split in LA and they're coming home feeling good. They win the World Series, okay? Are there beards this year?
Ring 28. No,
no way.
They're doubling down. Like, all of this is like, yeah, no, there's no chance. This whole, like, the last few years has been a slow reckoning of Yankeedom. And for them to get back to the World Series and then lose in fairly embarrassing fashion was, like, kind of the last step. And then, you know, losing Juan Soto to the Mets, like, all of it has culminated in this, as they've openly stated, right? They had a little audit. Oh, we're going to think about, oh, how are we doing things, all these things. And listen, we've been very upfront about this when we talk about the Yankees are doing a lot of things really well. This is still one of the best organizations in the league who succeeds more, and, like, they still deserve a lot of credit. But, you know, they also, because they have the most fans and also the most people that don't like them, they are under the largest spotlight. And now how they are choosing to handle that is fascinating. So I think that's kind of where we can leave it, because I don't know if there's another. I mean, we mentioned our Yankee fan producer, Andrew Hartz. We kind of talked about the last thing remaining of that makes the Yankees different, and it is the no names on the back of the jerseys. If that ever changes, then it's, yeah.
And that they bury all of the retired numbers out in Monument Park.
That's true.
All those guys laid to
They're
rest
all
out there.
That's true.
Yeah.
But besides that, So I don't anticipate that changing anytime soon with the jerseys. But that is, yeah, we're losing some of those specific Yankee things. But hey, maybe that's a good thing.
Did you see the video of Johnny Damon in relation to this? He is the only, like, former Yankee who seems to have come out vehemently against the change, which is so funny because he looks like the Geico caveman right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The video was just a reminder that Johnny Damon is not, like, it doesn't seem healthy.
No, mentally. No, that's not someone whose opinion I'm taking seriously at this point.
No.
But hey, hell of a ball player. That's the Yankees. If you have more thoughts, if we missed anything, I think the Garrett Cole quote really is probably all we really needed to share because it was so funny. But thank you, General Managing Partner Hal Steinbrenner, for this momentous decision.
May I please provide a trivia question and answer?
Yeah.
Oh, who was the first Yankee to take advantage of this policy? Answer. Mm. I saw AAA hurler Yoenndrys Gómez in the clubhouse that day around like 2 p.m. having just come out of the bathroom, like with his beard lined up perfectly and like a little stubble.
Baby.
It was so well groomed, and he walks into the room and some other Yankee NRI I didn't recognize just dapped him up and he was so happy. So I think that is the answer to that trivia question.
Yoenndrys Gómez, big season coming. This guy's been held back by a smooth face for too long. And he is going to be the next revelation in the Yankees bullpen.
Smooth face, smooth brain.
Sure. Let's move on to...
We're on fire today.
Another... probably the biggest story so far of spring training. Yeah.
Another what happened to the game I love.
Oh, okay. Moment. All right. Interesting transition. Let's talk about the ABS challenge system, Jake Mintz. Let's do it. We mentioned it last week. I was in Phoenix when MLB and Morgan Sword, the director of or executive vice president of baseball operations for MLB, gave a presentation to the media explaining how this was going to work. Essentially, this is robo-umps, but just for a couple calls a game. Teams are able to challenge a couple calls a game, and if they are correct, they get to keep them.
Do you think your Morgan Sword can defeat me?
I do, actually. I feel quite confident that Morgan Sword is in a pretty good place to defeat whatever take you're going to bring to this podcast, Jake. We have now seen this in action for a few days now. This system is in place for around 60% of the spring training games. I believe it is all the parks that have two teams at it, except for the Astros and Nats for whatever reason. But the point is, we have way more spring training games. And by the way, what has come with this underrated side effect is that now all of these parks that have ABS challenge system also have StatCast publicly, which was not the case. There's been a long time where like a very, very small fraction of spring training games have StatCast data, and now we have way more. So that's nice. But we're going to focus on the challenge system here because we have seen it in action. I saw it in action. I saw the first ever one. Shouts out Cody Poteet challenging a call on Max Muncy. He got that right. Cody Poteet got it correct. Tony Randazzo was incorrect behind the dish. anyway. I saw a couple more at the last game I was at before I flew home. The Giants and Rangers had some funny ones. First and foremost, this is not coming to Major League Baseball in the 2025 regular season. That's not happening. So this is not something that is going to be part of our regular season experience. Could it come in 2026? Perhaps. Although the way that Morgan Sword talked about it did not seem like it was like, this is definitely coming 2026. So maybe it is, maybe it isn't. The point is this is clearly something MLB is considering very strongly as they are instituting it in spring training, trying to see how players are responding, trying to see how fans are responding. Jake Mintz, for what you've seen so far, not that we are watching too many spring training games, but from the clips we've seen, if you saw it in person, what do you think so far?
It's a cute little novelty. I want to like it. I do. But I don't right now. And I want you to help me unpack my feelings about it. Would you do that with me?
I could, sure. I'll try. I mean, I'm not going to try and convince you one way or another. But yeah, what's your beef?
So like usually, Jordan, you and I just agree on everything, and that's why our podcast is terrible, right? Because it's like there's no debate, right? There's no debate to catch to fish. What is this for? Why do we need this? What is the point of this? What is the actual purpose of ball strike robots? That's a question for you.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I think that people, they sense that fans and players to some degree would like some level of safeguard for the human error of umpires. And I think one of the main things that I would like to add is this is a compromise between the fully automatic ball strike system, which all the testing that they've done in the minors with the players, nobody is asking for that. fans aren't asking for that, for the polling that they've done in the minors. Players hate it. They all say that. This is something in between where you have the option a very small number of times a game to try and say you know the strike zone better than the umpire. Gives the batter the opportunity, gives the pitcher the opportunity, gives the catcher the opportunity if they believe that. And so it is in the same way that, you know, you can challenge other calls and see reviewed. This is a much more efficient version of replay, much faster, much more entertaining version of getting the truth, the so-called truth. That is, I think, what is being attempted.
Guess what I don't care about?
Yeah.
The truth.
Yep.
I just want to see guys sock a few dingers. One of my biggest issues with the advent of instant replay in all sports is that it does remove an element of tension away. I think that this is not an element of tension necessarily. Like the joy and the immediate reaction, the immediate emotional response to an on-field event. This is most true in soccer, where there's a goal, and 50% of the time now in the Premier League, it's like, oh, well, let's go to VAR and see if it really counts, right? And you have all these times where, you know, team scores, beer goes in the air, and then the goal's overturned and everyone looks like an idiot. In baseball, the real comparison there is like stolen base or bang, bang play. Did the hand get in? I don't care, really, if the hand did or did not get in. And I just want to feel the reaction of the call of it more than the truth. Maybe that's me. I worry about just the yes, they don't want to do robo umps full time. But if you institute and implement this, like, it feels more likely that that will happen down the road. I understand the reasons and the arguments for this. I do. I get that we're going to have a better called game with this. Why don't we just get better umpires? Why don't we just get rid of all the old dudes who can't see anymore, who tend to be the worst at this, and get better umpires and include the human element in the game? That's just where I'm at with it. And I want to be more open to this because I know it's coming and I don't want to sound like a crusty dude. But the entertainment value of watching a guy tap his head and then everyone looking at a Jumbotron doesn't move the needle for me.
Yeah, I can't tell you how to feel, although I do think that there is a huge difference between this, because I think your point about replay is totally valid. And I think that especially seeing that in college levels, but even at the major league level, like when it takes forever, they have to go look at this and you're doing it down to the absolute tiniest frame and tiniest zoom in, and it's taking a long time and it ruins the flow of the game. Yes, that's what is
my replay take with that is that when they're watching plays back, they should have to watch them in full speed, and then if you need to zoom in and slow it down to like a crazy degree, then that's not realistic. Okay, sorry,
sure,
pause.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like, there are other replay things to be debated, that's fine. I'm putting that aside, but I do think there's a key difference here, because I think this is objectively far more entertaining because it takes less than 20 seconds every single time and everybody understands what they are looking at the whole time. And that is not the case in replay at all, because what they're seeing at the replay center is so many different things that you aren't necessarily seeing on the big screen. Whereas in this case, it's like, oh, okay, he's challenging it. Here we go. We're about to find out immediately, in the same way that, you know, you would hope that this system would work in the best possible scenario. But I'm with you that, like, yeah, if we're just trying to achieve the truth, I certainly do not want full robo arms. I still think that the umpires are generally really good at their job. And I do think that there is still a flow issue here to what you're describing, that the reaction in the instant of like the strikeout to end the inning and then, oh, wait, hold on, come on, we're going to challenge that. Like, that does feel unnatural, and there would be a huge adjustment for that. I totally agree with you. And yeah, some of the ones in that were both very entertaining. Like, I saw one in the Giants Rangers game where it was a strikeout to end the inning and the batter challenged the strikeout and it was obviously a strike and the batter looked like a fool and it was funny. And we all was like, all right, well, that was entertaining. But it's you could argue that it is still ruining natural moments of the game. I totally get that. And I think that's where I'm also uncomfortable with it. But I do think it's, to me, it is as much about like, it is adding an entertaining element that does functionally work in a way that fans will enjoy, in a way that replay has never achieved. I think that with replay trying to achieve the full truth has not added an entertaining element whatsoever. If anything, it has made it worse. So with that, I'm totally with you. I think that this is a little bit different in that sense.
Here's why I disagree with that. I think it will wear off. I don't think in 20 years of ABS will be like, oh my God, I can't wait to see whether that was in or out. Like that, it'll just become a part of our days of watching the game. And now it feels silly and goofy because it's just, it's funny. But, you know, 20 years into the guy challenging to end the inning and being wrong, it's just like, oh, what a dope.
Yeah. No, I hear that. And again, like you could make the argument, well, this is part of like, if we have this technology, the way that we have it in soccer, for better or for worse, in tennis, right? Like where you're seeing calls like that all the time, volleyball, things like this, like it's just part of the experience. And you could say that's a bad thing. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. But that's kind of where I'm at on it right now. But I do think that, you know, we're going to go through it and test it. And there's going to be other things that we haven't even fully grappled with yet. And we'll get the feedback and then we'll see what we have.
The thing I'm most interested in is, does having ABS improve umpire decision-making in any way, where having it as a shadow, does that make it harder for umps? Does that make umps worse? Does that make umps better because they're under pressure? I'm just kind of curious to see if there's any fallout from that. But overall, I lean because I just don't think we need it. I don't think it's going to enhance my experience, and I don't think it's going to bring in new fans. And so I don't want it. That's it. That's enough for me. Now I'm open-minded and willing to change. I'm willing to grow a beard here. Okay.
Well, listen, to be clear, I've said this on the show, if I was being told that this was going to mean we'd have full robo umps 100% in 5 years, I'd be like, no, I don't want that. Right. I am anti that as well. And I think you're totally valid to say that, yes, that this is, you are starting to move in that direction of seeing if it's possible. So that's totally valid. But as in its current state, I think that there's a version of it that could be good, but you know, we'll see. We're gonna take a break. When we return, let's have some fun. It's spring training. Ugh. These games don't count and they don't mean anything and we're barely watching them, but we have one thing from all 30 teams that we're going to talk about and we're going to move quick. We'll be right back on Baseball Barbecue.
And welcome back to Baseball Barbecue. Jake Mintz, Jordan Schusterman. Spring training is stupid. Spring training games are brutal. They are, however, funny. I would argue spring training is the funniest time of the baseball season for us.
Yes.
Personally, there's just players are more relaxed and are goofier. And it's just a really great incubator for weird things happening.
Yes. I will say that I don't want this to come across as kind of the same thing conversation we had recently about the All-Star game where we're like, wow, that sucks. Like, I don't want to do that. I understand that there are people that take a lot of comfort and joy in just like having a spring training game on. That's awesome. I'm glad that that's there for a lot of people to just like get back in the rhythm of watching a game. For us, we generally prefer steaks. And so I'll watch the college baseball game 10 times out of 10 instead of the spring training game. But spring training games are happening and they're giving us things to talk about in bits and pieces. And for that, I'm grateful.
And I also have just like the production of a spring training game on TV. I don't love either. Because half the time they're interviewing players in the dugout and I'm not learning much. Like, I will watch Irrelevant Baseball Journal. I watched a 11-minute video of Brandon Sproat, Mets pitching prospect, throwing live to hitters on YouTube yesterday. Okay, we're sickos. It's
yeah,
just,
yeah. Listen, there's about far the flavor more of it. Meaningless. Yeah. So that's fine. Like,
not trying to hate.
It's not. It's just we're just being honest that like we are very rarely tune into full spring training games, but that is what the social media is for. They can distill it down into the moments that we love. So what we're going to do, we're going to begin with the American League and go in a very random order that we can't really explain, but we are going to alternate. We'll start with the AL, take a break, come back to the NL. Just something from spring training so far from every team that has brought us joy. One way or the other. Maybe it's something that happened in the game. Maybe it's something else. And I don't know how else to explain it, but I think we're going to have a good time. So Jake Mintz, why don't you start us off with the Angels of Anaheim?
Welcome to the Trout Field. Mike Trout's move to right field is certainly the talk of Angels camp this year. Yesterday, he played his first game in right field and didn't touch the baseball.
I hope he enjoyed the view.
I think that is so funny. All this buildup, and it's like he just stood there. It could have been me. Like, it could have been me out there. It wouldn't have mattered. This is from an article on MLB.com from Rhett Bollinger. Just some great stuff. This is Trout. Quote, felt good. Just different angles. Things you work on in BP, getting comfortable, trying to get a fly ball. Thought I might get a ground ball, but it's fine. Felt good just standing out there in a different spot. And the last thing I'll say about this, teams should not hit a single ball to Mike Trout in games. I think that's a legitimate competitive advantage. If the league colludes to get Trout zero work in right field, he'll enter the regular season uncomfortable in his new home. And that could lead to some wins for everybody else.
Why are we making things harder for the Angels? That seems not necessary. Let's go to the A's of Sacramento. Currently, where do they play their games? I think they're like in Mesa right now. Anyway, this is kind of a spoiler for the Mets topic later. But did you see that Luis Severino, in exchange for his jersey number 40, do you know who was wearing number 40 for the A's last year?
TJ McFarland.
No. I was like, TJ McFarland. I was like, who? Mitch Spence, their Rule 5 pick who threw 150 innings. And Luis Severino gifted him a very, very nice Rolex watch. Is it as good as a car? But apparently Mitch Spence is a big watch guy.
All right.
A lot of baseball players are watch guys
come into
a lot of money. But yeah, there you go. Apparently this is like a $20,000 watch that Luis Severino gave to Mitch Spence. So there you go.
I would rather have $20,000. These gifts should just be in cash. Jordan, if you had my number and I wanted it, what would you want for me? Like what?
This is a good question. I'll get back to you on that one.
Email us. If you were a baseball player and someone wanted your number, what would you demand?
What would you, if you were holding it hostage, what would you ask for? What's next?
When I was at Astros camp, my keen eye noticed something weird in that clubhouse. There were like 5 jars of honey inexplicably located throughout the room. I witnessed Lance McCullers just squeeze a glob into his mouth before a workout. And then I can't remember who it was, another pitcher just downed raw honey. And I was like, that's odd. That's weird. And this morning, an answer to my question via the one and only Chandler Rome of The Athletic about Astros pitching prospect AJ Bluebaugh, who wore number 69 during the Futures game, which was not an accident for Mr. Bluebaugh. He is the honey guy for the Astros in the clubhouse. His dad, I'm reading directly now, his dad, Reggie, is an amateur beekeeper and accomplished honey maker. Accomplished honey maker is an amazing phrase. Who has owned as many as 10 hives across the family's 20 acres of land. If a swarm of bees is ever a nuisance, any of Belleville's 2,000 residents can call Reggie to extract it, earning him the nickname Bee Man.
This is a big deal. I was texting with AJ Bluebaugh before he reported to camp because he's from like a tiny, tiny town in Northeast Ohio, Belleville, which means I should go get some of this honey from the Bluebaugh family. Oh, I'm a honey guy.
Go get some Bluebaugh honey.
All right. I'm going to get on that.
All time wholesome quote in here from AJ Bluebaugh. Like, ready? Quote, I like seeing other guys enjoy all the honey that my dad makes because I know the work he puts in. I like the satisfaction of bringing joy to other people's lives. Hell yeah, dude. Wholesome. That is sick. Chandler Rome, AJ Bluebaugh, Houston Astros. Let's get honey, baby.
All right. I'm going to go try and get some Bluebaugh family honey. That is wonderful. Toronto Blue Jays. This went pretty viral. This is not an original bit, but it always makes me laugh. Chris Bassett had to be the bat boy as punishment for finishing last in fantasy football. But what I found so funny about this is this was also his birthday. So Chris Bassett has spent his birthday as the Blue Jays bat boy. There's a very funny clip of him talking with home plate umpire Adam Beck. And it's a very funny clip because Adam Beck's like, oh, yeah. All right, cool. Chris Bassett, you know, wearing a helmet as a bat boy. All right, sounds good. All right, thanks for checking in with me, man. So I don't know if he did the whole game, but it is a very funny clip.
We've seen bat boy before. I think we need to expand our field of view here. I would say ball boy down the line could be really funny. Don't let him sit in the dugout. Or concession stands, like make him sell hot dogs all day. Or there are a lot of other jobs. Grounds crew, right?
Yep.
There's a lot of other things we could do here with this.
Yep. What's next?
Baltimore Orioles. You see this often in spring training. The owner or the GM or the manager gives a speech to the entire room in spring training about the goals for the season and how if we band together and we believe in ourselves, we can win a World Series, right? This is always a funny moment for me because of how many dudes are in that room that are not even going to be on the team in 3 weeks, right? And Orioles owner David Rubenstein took this to another level with his little pump-up speech before spring training. You know, there's a lot of regular notes here. Then he has a quote that says, "My view is winning a World Series for the Orioles is God's work on earth. And I hope you feel the same." First of all, hell yeah, David Rubenstein. Love that. Like, if you believe you were put on earth to win a World Series with the Orioles, zygazunt. Like,
that's
you
great.
Live your truth.
How about
I
that?
Don't. Anyway, but the funny thing here is that, like, you know, you got Orioles NRIs in this room. Like, the male machine is like, I don't think
I was put on this spring training roster at the last minute.
It's like, you know,
dude, like Roansy Contreras, who's like bounced around waivers to like 9 different teams. It's like, well, I ended up on Baltimore. God's plan.
Nick Gordon is in there. Like, sure, I guess this is Jordan my Adams. Purpose. And like, so good.
I love that. That's great. Cleveland Guardians. Spring training photo day is always something interesting. And the Guardians, I don't know why they were doing this, but they seem to have some very an interesting theme where they had their players doing a lot of Star Wars related costumes as well as Harry Potter related costumes. I don't know if these are like promos for some sort of special promo day later this season, but the photo of Jose Ramirez and Emmanuel Clase wearing Harry Potter scarves with Harry Potter glasses and pointing wands. Again, I'm not even much of a Harry Potter guy, but the crossover here is so weird and so great that I encourage everyone to go look at the Guardians social pages to see these photos. I don't know whose ideas these were, but I love them very much.
No question is less interesting to me then what Harry Potter house is this baseball player in? Respectfully.
I agree. However, if you're going to put Emmanuel Clase in.
Yeah, costumes are always good.
Always I'm interested. Anyway, what's next?
Texas Rangers, they signed Kevin Pillar, who last year said he was going to hang him up. He said he was done. He said he had one more year. And then he was really good for the Angels, and then they didn't trade him at the deadline for some reason, so that was it. He's back. Kevin Pillar with the Rangers. I like he'll play. This is via friend of the show, Kennedy Landry, on Twitter. We just had a great chat with Kevin Pillar about his decision not to retire. Biggest takeaway, he got into some other hobbies this offseason. Specifically that he got about 50 chickens and 6 llamas, 3 of which are pregnant now. So I actually did some more research on this. And Pillar did a sit-down interview over the winter with a reporter named Tyler Baronsky, in which he goes into great detail on the llamas. He bought this farm and there were already llamas on it, and he got hooked on llamadom and just started acquiring other llamas, like, or the Orioles acquiring outfield depth. But he got one male llama and a bunch of lady llamas, and he's having that male llama knock up all the lady llamas. I believe Kevin Pillar, by the way, is from California, and I love that a Jewish guy from LA is raising llamas in Texas on a ranch.
In Texas.
Shows you that baseball will change you. And last thing, 50 chickens. That is a phenomenal economic decision considering how expensive eggs are right now.
Yeah, that can't be an accident. I know Kevin Pillar has made, looks like over $20 million in his career. I just love this because after he wasn't traded, like this dude played for the White Sox and Angels last year. And you can imagine he was like, listen, I ain't going out like this. This is just not how I want to end my major league career, no matter how many llamas I currently have. So good luck, Kevin Pillar. I know he's 36 and trying to make the team, but seems like a nice gent. Good luck to him and his llamas. Seattle Mariners. Lazaro Montez, one of their top prospects, hit a massive home run yesterday in front of his family who had not seen him play since 2022. And Lazaro Montez is a delight. It is very easy and lazy to compare him to Yordan Alvarez. However, there really isn't anyone else that looks or plays like him. And he was working with the same trainer in the Dominican before he signed. And Lazaro Montez is a delight. When I was in Mariners camp, I was standing over by the batting cage and watching some random prospect like Ben Williamson take swings. And suddenly, just this huge person just like appeared in front of me. And it was Lazaro Montez just like wanting to shake my hand and say, good morning. Nice to meet you. I've never talked to him before. But it was just like, oh, what a nice guy. And he just seems like a delightful human and also pretty good at hitting baseball. So wishing him the best and glad he had that moment in front of his parents.
The Detroit Tigers did a bit on their social media where they let various players tweet from their account with zero explanation or
I saw this. This was very funny. Yes.
It's a good bit. Now, the best one of these is obviously from the single goofiest man in baseball. Who is, Jordan?
John Brebbia.
John Brebbia. John Brebbia, a red-bearded reliever who is just a delightful character. This was his tweet. I will say this does not have his name on it. This is just a tweet from @Tigers. Okay. If your favorite subject is English, here's my favorite English language fun fact. Longest grammatically correct sentence in the English language using the same word. Buffalo, 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 buffalo. That is true. And I'm glad that John Brebbia shared this with the world. So go Tigers.
Go Tigers. The Tigers won again.
John Brebbia won again.
John Brebbia tweeted again. The Tampa Bay Rays. Jake, I am so excited for Chandler Simpson to be a Major League Baseball player.
Oh my God.
This dude is, I mean, like we got a brief taste of it. His good friend, Victor Scott, who we interviewed with the Cardinals, also amazingly fast, also stole like 90 bases in the minor leagues. I love Victor Scott. I wish him the best. However, Chandler Simpson, I think, is almost unquestionably the fastest player in professional baseball. And I think he's going to spend a lot of time in the major leagues this year. Not only did he have two amazing catches going both ways in center field, he had an infield single, I believe it was on Saturday, against the Red Sox, where he chopped it to third base. And it was like, it was the best kinds of infield singles. It's like, oh, is he going to beat it out? Is he going to beat it out? Not only does he beat it out, he's so far past first base and like out of frame that it doesn't even seem like this was a fantastic play by the third baseman. I believe it was Nick Sogard, who was like, did everything he could have possibly done on this chopper to third base. It was not Nick Sogard. Whoever came in for Nick Sogard. Anyway, he did his job, and Chandler Simpson is the fastest human I've ever seen. So I am so excited for him to be in the big leagues this year, and I hope we don't have to wait very long.
The best infield hits, in my opinion, are the ones where no one does anything wrong. It's like, it's not your fault. He's just fast. the Minnesota Twins have Royce Lewis, who was sneaky bad last year and needs to be good.
Second
this year,
half, it was bad, folks. Yeah.
Really bad. Like, really bad. Whatever. He's still a delightful guy. This is an article from Bill Ladson on MLB.com. Apparently, Royce Lewis, whenever a kid is asking for his autograph, he then asks the kid for one in return.
That's
top shelf pandering. And I don't mean like negatively. We are pro pandering on the show, as we will get to with Bryce Harper's tattoo a little bit later. Pandering's good, dude. This, and I know that Royce is not like, oh, I'm going to pander. It's perfect. It's the perfect thing. And, you know, we talk to baseball players all the time. And there's such a clear distinction right now between hey man, good to see you. Hey, how are, you know, you say, I will ask, how is your winter? And there are two types of players. There are the guys who tell you about their winter, and then there are the guys who tell you about their winter and then ask how your winter was.
Mm, that is a big distinction. I mean, this applies throughout the season where it's like when players, the few players that want to know anything about you.
How are you?
Yeah.
Right?
No, Royce Lewis is...
Oof. Hey, can I have an autograph? Hey, can I have an autograph? Awesome. Love it.
Elite.
A great quote from Lewis in the story. Quote, I love kids. I can't wait to have my own.
Oh, Royce. Oh. So precious. I hope he can hit. I hope he can stay healthy, and I hope he's better than he was in the second half because it was not great. All right. Boston Red Sox. Alex Bregman hit a home run. Woo! We love Alex Bregman. He's going to be so good for the Red Sox. Fine. He didn't just hit a home run, though. It went on top of the Fort Myers version of the Green Monster at JetBlue Park. And if you watch the clip, you can see there is a man that is attempting to catch this home run with his hat. And that person was Red Sox minor leaguer Peyton Tolley, who was at the game. And Peyton Tolley, who was a fantastic college player at TCU, one of my favorite kind of underrated pitching prospects in baseball.
Two-way guy.
You see him reach. Two-way guy in college. Now he's a pitcher only, a big left-handed pitcher. He kind of reaches out with his right hand with the hat, and he tries to catch the ball with his hat, but he fails. And so then one of his minor league teammates, Shea Sprague, quote tweeted this clip and said, you deployed the lid. You absolutely have to come down with that. And tags him. To which Peyton Tolley responded, I just didn't have enough grit. Which is great. So Peyton Tolley, I love that he's just hanging out up there during these big league spring training games. He seems like a delightful human, and I think he's going to be a pretty good pitcher one day, but he's going to have to work on his, shagging capabilities if he's going to be catching home run balls with his hat. So Peyton Tolley, do better next time.
Up the PFPs. The Chicago White Sox do not have a lot of good pitching in the big leagues right now, which is part of the problem. That does not stop them from interviewing a lot of these pitchers. There are these videos during spring training where they set up a prompt and they just turn the camera on, and it's wonderful. This one was name a fun fact about yourself for the White Sox. Particularly funny because I don't know who any of these people are without the lower bar with their name on it, right? It's like, that's Jordan Leisure. The best one, Frazier Ellard, has 11 brothers and sisters. That's spectacular. Grant Taylor can do a Rubik's Cube in 25 seconds. Okay, that's nice. The best one, and it makes me feel better about the White Sox future, their first round pick this past year, Hagen Smith, out of the University of Arkansas, an incredibly talented young lefty. His fun fact is the worst fun fact I have ever heard. He said,
bring it.
I have a dog.
Honestly, I've heard worse from baseball players.
Another guy said, I like to golf.
That's worse from a baseball player's standpoint. Because I already knew they liked to golf. I didn't know he had a dog. You know
what
I mean?
Fun fact.
No, it's definitely not a fun fact. I'm just saying, did I learn something? Like, now I at least know something that I didn't know already, which is that they all like to golf.
Every player should have to do this. You learn a lot about these people.
You just do, by saying, but not
name a fun fact.
It's very true. Kansas City Royals. Jack Caglione hit a very far home run. Their first round pick from last year. Cags is a freak. Here's the quote from Jack Caglione after his 115 mile an hour, 435 foot home run. So earlier in the at bat, he took a slider. He fouled off a fastball. And then he said, quote, swung a little too hard on the one I fouled off. And then I was like, all right, let's actually try to dial it back. I did. And it worked out. So Cags going 115 to dead center. That's him dialing it back. So he probably still has some minor league seasoning to go. I have to iron out that approach. But I am looking forward to him hitting Major League Baseball home runs. It will be very fun. That is Jack Caglione of the Kansas City Royals.
Roger Clemens was at Yankee camp. Mm. And, you know, He hasn't been there a while. And so there are a lot of stories. Oh, Roger Clemens is here. Oh, he's with the pitchers. Oh, blah, blah, blah. This is from an article in the New York Post via Greg Joyce. Here's what Greg had to say, amongst other things, about Clemens' visit. Cole said he planned to talk to Clemens at some point about how he was able to pitch into his 40s. Though the Yankee ace is guessing it had a lot to do with his good mechanics and fluid movements.
Yep, that's what it was.
That's all it was.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we return...
Hey, Roger!
We're
any tips? Yeah, juice out of your freaking skull, dude.
Please don't, Garrett Cole. I want you to keep pitching. I want you
How
to,
did you...
I want you to not...
How did he do it?
Honestly... never mind. All right, we're done. We'll be right back on Baseball Barbercast doing the National League.
And welcome back to Baseball Barbercast. A really hilarious episode, if I do say so myself. Let's move over to the National League. Jordan Schusterman, get us started.
The Milwaukee Brewers, and it's time to talk about Craig Yoho.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's right. They traded Devin Williams, and that's fine because they have one of the other best changeups on the entire planet, and his name is Craig Yoho, who had a 0.94 ERA in the minor leagues last year as a reliever. He doesn't throw as hard as Devin Williams, but this dude's journey, he was like a two-way player in college, had like 9 different surgeries, not just arm surgeries, a million injuries, barely played in college in Indiana. 8th round pick, and his changeup is delicious. And I look forward to seeing it in the major leagues very, very, very soon. Craig Yoho, I salute you.
The Atlanta Braves unveiled a new mascot, a spring training specific mascot.
What?
I saw it with my eyes. I was there. Okay. I saw its unveiling. Palmer, a palm tree.
I was assuming it had something related to palms. Okay.
Its face is the trunk. It has a huge nose that looks like a hole. And then its head is like...
oh, gosh.
Like palm fronds. It's a ridiculous looking mascot. And I think it has to be the first spring training specific mascot that we've ever had. So that's Palmer.
Yeah.
And I don't know... Why the Braves? Maybe the Braves are too embarrassed to let us know about Palmer on social media.
I would guess that Blooper does not want any sort of attention directed away from him.
I hope Blooper like chops down Palmer on the last day of the year.
Just like WWE, just like takes him out, just like
murdered
shows
in
up
cold
and just tackles
blood.
Him, and that's it. All right. St. Louis Cardinals. I'm keeping the prospects going. A couple more of these. J.J. Weatherholt. We love this guy. He went oppo in a spring training game over the weekend. It was just one of those swings where you're just like, man, that guy is going to be good at baseball for a really, really, really long time. I don't think we're going to see J.J. Weatherholt this year in the big leagues, but he is someone that I am excited for people to... I did have this moment where I was like, oh, no, that people are going to be like, oh, J.J. Weatherholt, he's the newest Cardinal that I can't stand. And I was like, no, I love J.J. Weatherholt. Be nice to him. But this home run was delightful, and that is why I'm mentioning it. Back to you, Jake, for the Dodgers of Los Angeles.
This is the best one. It is a video of Dave Roberts learning that Roky Sasaki is married. Or is getting married?
So it seems that Roky Sasaki,
were you there for this?
I was not there for this. I was not there when Fabian Ardaia of The Athletic asked Dave Roberts, have you gotten Roky a wedding gift? Now, in fairness to Dave Roberts, Roky Sasaki had posted on Instagram announcing that he had seemingly gotten married, I think over the offseason. I'm not exactly sure. Like minutes before Dave Roberts was asked this. So this is a tough spot for the Dodgers skipper. But it also mirrors exactly a year ago when Ohtani announced he was married. And I think Dave Roberts had at least known about that because I believe Ohtani had announced it like the night before. This was just like totally out of nowhere. But the video of Dave being like, what? Who? is just incredible. And Fabian, a moment that Fabian will always have.
Roki?
We have a Roki?
It's more like Roki? Like he married too? It's so good. Shouts out to all these dudes with secret wives. Like, I get it, man. They're big deals over there.
Going.
They can't be.
Keep
it can't
going.
Be having.
More secret wives. It's good.
More secret
good,
wives. More secret wives.
Podcast content.
Yamamoto next.
Cubs. Pete Armstrong changed his number from 52. Pete, come on, dude. 52 is a great number. I mean, we're biased, but it sounds like Jed Hoyer did not like Pete wearing 52 because he basically was making fun of him and was like, that's a lineman's number. And Pete, if there's anything you can't say about Pete, it's that he does not look like a lineman. And apparently they were just shooting hoops back over there at Sloan Park. And Jed was like, if I make this shot, you got to change your number. Pete was like, sure, whatever, Jed Hoyer. And Jed swished one and the rest is history. PCA will be wearing number 4 now. It does look pretty good for him. Well, it makes his name look even bigger on the back of his jersey. But you know what? That's fine. I support all things PCA. I'm a little bummed that we won't have a 52 that we could cheer for, that we are especially, you know, excited about, but I'll be all right.
The back of his uniform should just say PCA. It should be 3 letters. It should be like an Ichiro Neymar situation.
I agree. I support that. I don't care about the number. Just be PCA.
The Miami Marlins, their spring training thing did not happen even at a baseball game. Kim Ang, who is up to some cool stuff, former general manager of the Miami Marlins, is now just like running a softball league, I believe. She's the senior advisor for Athletes Unlimited Pro Softball. Great. And she was being interviewed during a game, it appears, between San Diego State and Hawaii, live on Flow Sports. What's the opposite of a shout out, Flow Sports? My least favorite streaming platform. Anyway, during this interview at the softball game, Kim Ang is asked about the Marlins, about her time with the Marlins and the current Marlins team. And she says, quote, definitely not the team that we had put together.
She's right. I mean, that team is long gone. I know it's only been like a year and a half since they were in the playoffs, but the team that Kim put together is really no longer in existence.
The tweet from @Fish on First, former Marlins GM Kim Ang distances herself from what the team has done since her departure. I mean, it feels pre-distanced. It's like, you know, you took a crap on the floor of my old apartment right now, it's not my fault.
That ain't the team she put together. Arizona Diamondbacks. They scored 3 runs on a sacrifice fly. Don't worry, Rockies. We have some good news for you later. But for now, we are going to continue to laugh at you. The thing that is most disappointing about this play, in which Ketel Marte launched a ball deep center field, Sam Hilliard caught it, crashed against the wall. Not even crashed against the wall, but kind of went up against the wall. My favorite thing about this sac fly that scored 3 runs is that the third base coach is sending the second run immediately. So that was already like part of the plan, which we love. What's disappointing is that the guy who makes the bad throw home is Ezekiel Tovar. Like, this isn't just some random Rockies minor league infielder that made this hilarious mess up where the ball then careens off of the backstop and gets away and 3 runs score. It's Tovar. Like, if anybody's going to make that good throw, it would be one of the best defensive shortstops on the planet. But the Rockies are the Rockies. Sad. And the D-backs benefited, so there's your D-backs thing.
Okay, great. The New York Mets, Juan Soto wanted Brett Beatty's number, 22, so he bought him a Chevy Tahoe. Interesting choice. However, it certainly does seem up Brett Beatty's alley. He's a tall guy from Texas. He can fit a lot of his future children in there, I guess. Mm-hmm. And but my real suspicion here is that Soto has a Chevy dealership hookup somewhere. I don't think that he was like, hey, Brett, what car do you want? I think he was just like, I'm going to get him a car. And then he, like, Scott Boras, his agent, was like, let's see who will just give you a great deal on a car because you're Juan Soto. So if Juan Soto puts on Instagram soon a video of him at, you know, Schmendrick's Chevrolet in Great Neck, you keep an eye on that.
Juan Soto we don't need to be doing anymore. I mean, he's presumably has graduated beyond, you know, advertising for random local car dealerships. I could be wrong. Maybe he still wants to do that. Get a little extra cash on the side. Feels like
that's what rich people do. They get free stuff. Juan Soto right now on his Instagram story.
I know that.
On his Instagram story, he is selling Celsius. Okay. He is selling energy drinks. You do not have the grind set, Jordan.
No, you're right. That's on me. Well, I don't know. I thought I saw something that Brett Beatty, like, I always wanted a truck. Who wanted, like, is Beatty a truck guy the way that Mitch Spence is a watch guy? I think that's what we're kind of, that's what we have to find out. San Francisco Giants, keeping with the theme of prospects hitting home runs, Bryce Eldridge. This is a large gentleman. This Big is boy. A very, very large gentleman. I feel like it's a little unfair the amount of expectation being put on this top first base prospect who was their first round pick like 2 years ago out of high school. And they're like, oh, here we go. Finally, someone that's going to hit 30 home runs. I mean, he sure looks like he could do it, but I'm a little worried that Giants fans are expecting him to do it like right now. And I feel like we should be a little bit patient, even though he sure looks a lot older than his age, which is, I think, 20. I think the guy's 20 years old. But he had a very far home run to center field against Texas. It was like 30 minutes after I left the ballpark to the airport, so I'm sad I missed it in person. But I saw it on video, and it was delightful to watch. So, Bryce Eldridge, excited to watch you in the big league soon as well.
San Diego Padres. There is a great clip of a fan chirping Ha-Sung Kim, the new Dodgers infielder.
Oh, my God. Yes.
For being on the Dodgers and not the Padres now. And clearly this fan mixed up Ha-Sung Kim and Ha-Sung Kim.
Yes. Yes.
That
will happen. Yes. So the funniest thing about this clip, what's your favorite chirp? Because I had a takeaway.
Just like in general?
Well, I'm saying that part of why this is so funny is what this fan is saying, which is that, like, you're on a real team now. You got a chance to, you can win a ring now. Again, wrong. This is not the right person.
It's a Dodgers fan.
Yes.
That is like chirping the current Dodger player.
Yes. Yes.
And almost saying, like, you're moving up in the world. This is great. But the chirp is like, what is the purpose of this chirp? Like support.
Yeah, it's a weird way to like welcome him to the team. Right.
It's a congratulations.
However,
either way, wrong.
Wrong guy. The most generous interpretation is she knows that his Kiwoom Heroes finished in last place last year. He's like, now you're on a real team. But I have a feeling that's not what was happening in this situation. The Washington Nationals, Jacob Young, center fielder Jacob Young, was photographed looking laughably ripped. They just posted a picture. The Nats account posted a picture of Jacob Young kind of like holding his bat over his hand over his head with the caption, Jacob, but he goes by Jacked. He does look quite good. This went super viral because it's a very funny picture where he looks really strong. Jacob Young responded to this. He said, he got more texts about this photo than anything else that's ever been put out about him. So that was funny. And then he was asked, was this an accurate depiction? Young was asked of the size of his arms. He said, quote, no, I think honestly, good angle. Whoever was on the camera deserves a raise from me, which is great. Jacob Young, for those of you unfamiliar, one of the fastest players in baseball, one of the best center fielders in baseball, but he is not known for hitting the ball hard. So I would not expect the exit velocities to tick up despite this photo. If anything, it is a reminder that Major League Baseball players are most of them are just in really, really good shape, even though not all of them actually can hit the ball very hard. So Jacob Young, enjoy the extra attention.
King Pander, the national pander. Bryce Harper got a tattoo of the Philly Fanatic on his wrist. It's a great tattoo. The Fanatic is in motion on the ATV that it so often drives, waving at the crowd, waving out at you. Its tongue it's a great tattoo. It's like in this kind of like red, black hue. It's great. It's great. It's a great tattoo. What do you got next?
I mean, I feel like this probably will hurt him in his extension negotiations. Remember, Bryce wants to restructure his contract.
No leverage here. Like, every dude, team should have one.
You've put your...
Every team needs one player with a team-related tattoo at a time. That should be a new MLB rule. Put in the new CBA.
Cincinnati Reds. Ellie De La Cruz homered from both sides of the plate in, I think, his first spring training game. Ellie had an interview with Joe Dannemann, who's a very good broadcaster in Cincinnati, a couple days before spring training games began. And he was asked, Ellie, do you think you can win MVP? And Ellie said, yeah. Yeah. If I stay healthy. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, it's probably right. He probably could win MVP. Very few players that can look into the camera and say, yes, I can win MVP. And I'm like, yes, that is very possible. Ellie is the best. And I am honestly bummed I don't get to watch him every day, all the time, like I did when I was living near Cincy. But I'm still excited for year three of the Ellie De La Cruz experience once again.
I'm also rooting for Ellie, though. I think Ohtani might need to get polio in order for him to win MVP.
All right. Fair point.
All right. The Pittsburgh Pirates. This one is a little convoluted and serious, but we'll get into it. 2 years ago, I was at Pirates camp when there was a medical emergency on the backfields. A gentleman by the name of Ernie Withers was at camp shagging fly balls as part of like a Chamber of Commerce fantasy camp. And he went into cardiac arrest out in the outfield and had to be taken to the hospital. It was a very scary moment because like no one had any idea what was going on. You couldn't really see out there. A lot of people thought it was a player. Thankfully, Ernie, his life was saved by the Pirates training staff. And the Pirates tweeted this out a couple days ago about how Ernie Withers since has started a charitable organization that provides AEDs to places in the area. That's great. And he was back at Pirates camp hanging out at the place that his life was, you know, on the edge. And it's just good to see, you know, this come full circle. Now, I will say the Pirates tweeting this out was a little ownership propaganda because it included the quote, which Ernie did say, "When I established my foundation, the first person who stepped up was Bob Nutting, Pirates owner, and Pirates Charities." My favorite response, these are five words that just sent me into Nirvana. Lovely story, sell the team. That's great. Because
that's pretty much what you're asking for when you put out something like that.
There are a lot of other people being like, screw you, Bob, and sell the team. No. Lovely story.
Yeah.
Sell the team.
This is good. I'm glad that, you know, Ernie Withers is taking this experience and turning it into good. We've seen versions of this before, of course, when people have, you know, life-changing events. And I'm glad he's okay. And I'm glad that other people are getting more, you know, emergency equipment.
Yeah.
But
it's bad, that the Pirates signed Andrew Heaney. That could have been like at least 30 AEDs.
It seems like Bob's doing pretty good here, showing his support for his new foundation. So I think that is good. But I do agree that it's pretty predictable when you have something involving Bob Nutting at this point. Last but not least, the Colorado Rockies. In that same game, where they allowed a three-run sack fly. Zach Veen, first round pick from 2020. The jokes were amazing at the time. The Zach Veen vaccine jokes in the summer of 2020 were delightful. Anyway, Zach Veen it's been a slow burn for him as a prospect, but he has now arrived in the major league, not in the major leagues, in major league spring training, nearly the major leagues, AAA with Colorado. And he hit a monster home run over the weekend and unleashed a bat flip that he basically immediately regretted in a way I haven't seen in quite some time. And that is why this is such a good clip. He unleashed it. I mean, it was very like KBO-esque. The dismount here was so aggressively forward. The bat almost launched towards the pitcher. And Bud Black was being interviewed during this home run. And Bud Black's like, "Whoa, you see that bat flip?" I was like, "Yeah, did you see that bat flip, Bud Black?" Like, that was really something. So definitely one of the more aggressive flips. And Zach Veen afterwards was like, "Oh, yeah, sorry. I wasn't sure what I did there." But it was pretty entertaining.
He immediately puts his hand out and apologizes to the pitcher. I'm just surprised that Zach Veen is allowed to play now that RFK is running the health department.
I was going to say, what do we think? I had that same joke. Thank you for saying it for me. I appreciate it. The bat literally is like almost on the mound. It is one of the more ridiculous blimps that I've seen in a major league setting in quite some time. Zach Veen, we support you. And also, your spoonerism. All right. Let's move on.
That's it.
Actually, we're done. It's it. That's the end of the show.
That's the show. Great show. Great show. Great show. Job. A little long. Little
good
long.
Show. I got a little long. Hey, we made people wait till Tuesday. So we might as well give them a little extra content. Thank you to producer Andrew Hartz, who's back. We appreciate him for making this show possible. Thank you all for listening. Any final words, Jake?
We'll be back on Friday.
Oh, we'll be back on Friday. All right. Back on Friday. And then next week, three times a week. Oh, baby, the season is approaching. It is March. Holy crap. Very excited for that. Thank you all for listening. BaseballBarbieCast@gmail.com. We will talk to you all on Friday. Goodbye.